Gospel this morning, reading this morning in John chapter 17 from verse 6 through verse 19. John chapter 17 from verse 6. Jesus' words to God in prayer. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, and I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them, I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. Amen. And may God add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word. If you have no joy in your religion, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. So said Billy Sunday, the American evangelist at the turn of this century. And yet the statement that he made raises some very searching questions. Do you have joy in your religion? Do you have joy in your life today? Are there any leaks in your Christian faith? What is there to be joyful about, someone may ask, and perhaps with reason. On Thursday when I began preparing for the service today, there were a number of news items, sad news items, which came to my ears. The news of the sudden death of the Labour leader, John Smith. The news of the UNHCR convoys trying to reach through to the Rwandan refugees coming under fire. The news of the Formula One racing driver, Carl Wendlinger, at Monaco, leaving him in a critical condition. And then, in that same morning, the news within the parish of someone who had been bereaved. And the news later on that day of someone who had received bad news about their health. How can we be joyful with such tragedy and such injustice and evil and sadness all around us and facing us in our own lives? You don't know what it's like out there, someone might say. Well, that's as maybe, but Jesus Christ does. And he means his people to have joy in their lives. Joy which he gives. Joy pervading all that we do. Joy pervading all that we face. Joy which makes a difference to our lives. And we turn this morning to John chapter 17 once again, where we find Jesus in verse 13 recorded as being praying that his disciples, that his followers might have joy. And we look this morning at something of what that joy is and how we might acquire it and retain it and know it in our own lives in the depth of our being. And the first thing of two which we want to note this morning is that Jesus means you to have joy in your life. Jesus means you to have joy. But for some people, quite the opposite is the case. Like the man who penned these words, "To dwell above with saints I love, aye, that will be glory. To dwell below with saints I know, now that's a different story." But Jesus means you to know joy in your lives. No one can read the scriptures without coming to the conclusion that joy is a dominant theme. We can trace it right through the Old Testament, and the Psalms in particular. And then as we come to the New Testament, we find that news of great joy being announced by angels to shepherds. The joy Jesus told and taught of entering his kingdom and belonging to his heavenly Father. Jesus' disciples were overjoyed when they saw their resurrected Lord. And then as we go on through the New Testament and come to the teaching of the apostles about prayer, encouraging one another to know joy, and that great command of the apostle Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always." No one can be in any doubt that the theme of joy is a dominant one, a controlling one, in the whole of Scripture. And it's not simply a joy which people knew in the past and which was known in the past, but something very much for today. It's something that we are meant to have, something we are to possess. How do we know this? Well, Jesus prays for his disciples that they might know his joy, that my joy might be fulfilled in themselves. And so we ask again, do you know that joy this morning? Do you know Christ's joy in your life? It's not something, you see, which is an optional extra, something which we can choose to have or not to have in our lives. This is something that we're very used to in our society. Whether we're buying a car or a camera or a colour television, we can choose to have optional extras which enhance our enjoyment of that possession. Whether it be a sunroof or a tripod stand or a teletext TV, these are all optional extras, things that we have a choice about. But joy is something that we don't have any choice about. It's something that we are to have in our Christian lives. It's an intrinsic part of the Christian life. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, described in Galatians chapter 6. But the clearest of all evidence that joy is something every Christian is to possess comes from the lips of Jesus Christ himself in the prayer to his Father here in John 17, praying that his followers might have it, praying that we today might receive it and know it. And so, as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, it's our duty as Christians to have this joy, to be filled with it. And we must give ourselves neither rest nor peace until we have it. It's not an optional extra. It's something that we have to seek and possess. But what is this joy? Well, let's first see what it's not. It's not to be confused with pleasure, the kind of pleasure that we have in our world in the computer game, CD, video, audio, hi-fi, age. It's not to be found in the latest experience that's available at Alton Towers or any of the other number of things which can be bought or experienced in the world. It's not to be confused with pleasure, any of the thrills that these things might offer. When Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi, for example, they didn't have any of these things at their fingertips. They'd been beaten and scourged. They were in chains.
And yet there they were in prison, joyfully singing and praising and praying to God.
The joy that Christ gives is not to be confused with pleasure,
and nor is it a kind of exuberance, which, irrespective of how one feels inside, knows that Christians are to be joyful and so puts on the display of joy for everyone to see and goes overboard with it. We find this sometimes at some Christian gatherings where they're shouting and singing and clapping and dancing. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. And in fact, the New Testament makes it abundantly clear that the gospel, when received into our lives, has such an impact, an effect on our lives, that we are bursting with joy. But we are not to try and manufacture emotions, nor create an atmosphere of joy in our lives, in our gatherings. The one person in the New Testament in whom we see the fullness of joy most clearly, Jesus Christ, never did any of these things. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, and yet he was also someone full of joy. True joy is not to be confused with pleasure. It's not a kind of exuberance, and neither is it what's perceived to be freedom in the world's eyes. That kind of freedom from responsibility, or freedom from the daily activity and the daily drudge which face us all. The kind of thing that's found most clearly, I think, perhaps in the enticing advertisements which we have on television and in our magazines. But they never seem to work. I don't know how many bounty bars I've eaten, and yet I don't think I've ever tasted that taste of paradise yet. No matter how often I'm out in my car and sitting in it and driving it, all thoughts of freedom suddenly go when I'm stuck in the traffic jam at Moody's Bun Lights. And no matter how often my wife says to me, "Get away," I've still not managed to have that dream holiday in the sun in the Greek islands that some ministers seem to have had and are having this past week. But you see, the promise of such adverts is a delusion. But far worse than that, they portray everyday life, normal life, usual life, as something dull and dreary, boring and barren of joy. But in fact, pursuing these dreams of unparalleled joy, as the adverts present to us, and setting store in these things for joy, will only leave us disappointed and dejected and disenchanted with life. And the joy Jesus gives is for every area of life: family, work, leisure, study, and the normal and everyday things, even the things which can be perceived as mundane activity. Jesus gives us joy. And it's joy he gives. He's the source of that joy, as he says in the prayer, that they might have my joy. It's joy from him. But more importantly, it's to have joy like him. And what kind of joy did he have? What characterized his joy? Well, it was and is partly the joy of feeling. At its most basic, this is much as the dictionary definition presents us to it: a deep feeling or condition of happiness or contentment. And yet it goes far beyond the flitting and fleeting feelings that we have of joy. Joyful feelings come and go. But Jesus Christ was, his joy was an abiding joy, which was constant, which went on and on, irrespective of which or whatever situation may have faced him in life. Whether it be a quiet confidence and sense of peace, a joy which abides with us and in which we are content, or whether it's a bursting, ecstatic delight, Jesus promises to give us his joy. And Jesus' joy is evident throughout the Gospels. He wasn't someone prone to outbursts of anger or to fits of despondency, but always displayed a constant, steady, joyful condition of heart and life, even when he was faced with those disciples and when they disappointed him most seriously at times. And this is the same joy which he gives to each one of us today. It's the joy of which many countless millions of Christians have testified to right down through the ages. That hymn we sang earlier on in the service for the children was written by Fanny Crosby in the 19th century. Someone who penned more than 2,000 hymns in her lifetime. Someone who knew what it was to face suffering. At age only 6 weeks old, because of a faulty diagnosis and faulty treatment, she was left blind for the remainder of her life. And yet, was she bitter? Was she angry? Far from it. We read some of her words and sung some of them in that hymn earlier on. But she also wrote these words, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I shall be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I'm blind. I cannot and I won't." And the reason why she had that joy from Jesus Christ that kept her in every situation and circumstance which she faced in life, that abiding joy deep within her, which was constant and guarded her heart and her mind. And that's the same joy that we can have today, the same joy that Jesus gives, the joy of feeling. But this joy of feeling which Jesus had wasn't independent, something on its own, but it was a result, a direct result of the joy of knowing. In the first place, knowing his Father's presence in his life, that God the Father was with him. He wasn't alone, the Father was with him. This is what he tells us at the end of chapter 16. There was certainty and security and joy in that close, personal, intimate relationship with God his Father. And while none of us can ever have the same relationship with God the Father that Jesus Christ had, that was a very particular and peculiar relationship, yet we are called into fellowship through faith in him to have fellowship with him. And into a personal, intimate relationship with him. And therefore to have that same joy. This is what the free gift of eternal life is. Knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ we are welcomed, accepted and loved by God the Father. And joy is found in receiving and believing and knowing and accepting this truth. Some Christians today are full of doubt and difficulty at this point because they have heard that they are to have joy in their lives through Jesus Christ and that they are to be at peace with God, and yet they say, "Well, I don't know this peace. I don't feel at peace with God." However, this is where their mistake lies, you see. They confuse truth with emotion, fact with feeling. You see, God promises that all who believe in his Son have peace with himself, irrespective of how we feel. The enmity with God is taken away, our sin is removed, and we are God's friends. Whether we feel it or not, it's something that's true. And it's when we meditate on this new relationship with God through Jesus Christ that is the source of the joy that we find through him. And so with Jesus, joy arose from knowing his present relationship with his Father. It also arose partly because of the future prospect which lay before him. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that because of the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, he endured the suffering and despised and the shame that was before him, all that lay ahead for him. He looked forward to a greater joy that was to come. Oh yes, because of his death and resurrection, the joy of the possibility of salvation for as many as who believe in him. The joy of returning to his Father, to his home in heaven. And here too is where our partial or greater part of our joy is to be found, in the future, in all that God promises us then. Visiting around the parish in recent weeks, I've noted a certain perplexity and distress among people at the present events in the world, at the situation in Rwanda, for example, and then more locally at some of the things that have been going on in the parish, and perhaps particularly the way that some old people have been treated. And the question which comes again and again is this: where will it all end? It's maybe a question that you've heard, perhaps a question that you've asked yourself. And what is the answer? Well, the answer is this: although we don't know what suffering lies ahead in the world, we can't foresee these things, yet ultimately we know the outcome. We know that God has all things in control, in his power, that he will receive his people into his kingdom at the last, there to be with him forever, and there to experience the true extent of his joy as we dwell with him there forever. As we consider our present relationship with God the Father, as we remember his promises concerning the future, concerning our eternal security as his people, and of the prospect of being with him forever, there is reason for joy and encouragement. Jesus' joy is seen in his feeling, the joy of knowing, and also the joy of living. He lived a meaningful, purposeful, fruitful life. Remember, his supreme purpose for coming into the world was to die on the cross, to save sinners. But see what else he accomplished while he was here. We see this in the Gospels, in his miracles, and in his teaching, something which we have the record of today, something which bore fruit in his life, all that was recorded of him, from which we find benefit in our lives today. And it's in a similar way that we know Christ's joy in our lives, as we live lives with purpose and meaning. Now, there are many in contemporary society who would dispute that there's any meaning and purpose in life, and they mock and ridicule the very idea. Such as one politician who said, "What I ask is absurd, that life shall have a meaning. What I strive for is impossible, that my life shall acquire a meaning." Some writers, like the popular author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams, lampoons the very idea of there being meaning in life. And yet this is what the scriptures teach us. And this isn't what Jesus Christ would teach us here in this verse. Irrespective of these people with their views, purpose and meaning is something people receive in their lives through faith in him, as we seek to serve him, as we seek to glorify God as the overall purpose of our lives. Whatever we do, whether we're an industrial mogul or a housewife and mother, a missionary or a minister, when we do all to the glory of God, when we cooperate with his Holy Spirit as he seeks to accomplish his work in us, and when we employ the gifts he's given us in his church, when we serve him in the world, there we find true joy and meaning and purpose in our lives. So, having considered that Jesus means you to have joy in your life, how is it then that we know that joy? Well, we know it in the first place through the obedience of faith, as we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, if we have no union with Jesus Christ, if we don't belong to his family with God as our Father, then we have no part in this joy. It's only as we come to Jesus Christ and trust in him. And it's also in the obedience to his commands, meditating upon all he has taught, seeing how it applies in our lives and putting it into practice. And in the world, this is the very last place that joy will be found. If I were to go out into the street today and ask people where they think true joy will be found, I would get many answers. Maybe some like having job security, or having enough money to pay off the bills at the end of the month, or drinking oneself into oblivion every weekend. But having joy in Jesus Christ would be the very last place to find it. And yet this is the only place we find it, as we first come to him in faith, and then as we go on obeying him and following him. Do you know his joy today? This is what he gives. This is what he offers, even now. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for all that Jesus has accomplished in coming into the world by his life and death and resurrection and ascension. We thank you that he offers us the fullness of joy that pervades every aspect of our lives, all our circumstances and situations. We ask that you might help us to take him at his word and to trust all that he says, that it's true, that we might know that joy in our lives as we live to serve you and please you in this place and in the world, for Jesus' sake. Amen.